Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Wednesday morning in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
40 degrees right now. I'm going to get up into, we'll be diddling 60.
Ooh.
But the beautiful days we've seen the last couple,
yeah,
it's going to be rain.
Goodbye.
Yep, right around lunchtime, rain starts, and it looks like it goes until we die. Also, could be looking at some thunder and lightning overnight.
Oh.
So if the dogs start barking, nobody's breaking in your house,
right,
unless somebody is breaking in your house, in which case, call the police.
Mm, all right.
There's your tip of the day.
Thank you.
I would like to start with a story that's coming from Farmington.
Okay.
The casino out that way.
Mm.
A man from Rochester has been arrested after an incident at Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack earlier this year.
What happened?
So it happened back in early February, but we're just hearing about it today. They say this man is accused of striking the play button. And when we say strike, like hitting the play button.
Yeah.
So like slamming it.
You got it. On one of the gaming machines.
Man, I thought everybody did that when they were tanking.
Well, apparently he did it so hard it damaged the machine.
Damn.
The man was charged with criminal mischief. He has a court date coming up for damaging, allegedly, the slot machine at Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack.
Okay.
And, you know, you hear the story that's not surprising to you. What is surprising, however, is that we don't hear about a story like this every day from every casino in New York.
That's what I mean. Especially, like, it had to be like a wrestling slam. Like, he must have come off the high rope and did, like, the bionic elbow into that thing. Because you see people getting pissed off in casinos all the time. It's the number one pissed off place on the planet.
Like, think of every kid growing up that threw their video game controller at the TV.
Yeah.
Now, times that by 100 when you're losing money and losing that game.
Well, that same kid is now at the casino.
Yes.
But to Pat's point, it is amazing it doesn't happen more often.
So you must have really done some obnoxious stuff.
Buttons are really sturdy.
I mean, at least according to the story. I mean, look, I mean, those slot machines cost a fortune. If you break a slot machine, there's going to be some consequences.
But, like, the behavior around slot machines is just so funny in general, just watching people play.
For example.
And how they get territorial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My mother would, like, so my mother would sit down and play slots, and she would take up three machines.
She would play three machines?
She would play three machines. She'd put her purse on one, put a drink on the other, she'd sit at one, and these are mine, and she did just, like,
saving seats.
Yeah. She was like Elton John at the piano, man.
Well, no, to your point, you know, we would do our Bills events out of Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack, right?
Yeah.
And if I got there early, I would take like $10 and pop in a machine just to kill some time, right? So there were times where I would see guys like feet up on one chair, elbow on the other, and they're playing the middle one, but they were only playing the middle one. It's like they felt like it would be bad luck or something if two people sat next to them.
Well, true. They also want to jump if they start having a bad run. Because you just start chasing machine to machine.
I see. Can I, real quick sidebar before we get more into what we're talking about here. There are two kinds of slot machines in a casino. There are the ones that are pretty straightforward, like, you know, if you get three sevens, this is how it works. And then there's the insane ones.
Where you just keep hitting buttons until something happens. I don't know. Did I win? I have no idea.
You know, it's like 15 boxes and like there's a dolphin and a trident and I don't know what anything means.
You get a combo of the most random little icons and it's like, you're a winner.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
And I would watch these people, Kimmy, play these machines and I'm thinking to myself, like, I know you don't know what any of this means. Why would you not do one that, like, you understand?
Yeah,
it's their lucky machine, I guess.
They ran out of luck on those.
Okay, all right.
Like, but it is amazing, though, because you've ever met somebody that wins a lot?
At a
slot machine? I'm sure. Well, like there are some people that they'll go all the time, and they just happen to, like, win more than other people. And I'm just like, they'll swear, like, by their strategy that they use to, like, find winning machines and stuff. Like, I'm sure that they also lose a lot, but it is amazing, like, how they'll come up with, like, a whole strategy and system that they think that they've beat.
Well, that's just it. And I think Tommy can back me up on this based on the gamblers that we've known growing up.
Yeah.
Those people aren't winning more than anybody else. They're just spending more money where the machine goes ding, 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 ding more. But in doing that, they're also losing more money.
Oh, yeah, because they're only going to tell you about when they hit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what gamblers do.
Yes.
I'm guilty of that. But, like, I mean, and even the perks that casinos will offer sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Like, those perks that they give people, and you'll hear people brag, like, you know, I got X out of this. I'm going on a cruise. They gave me a car. Like, how much did you lose where they gave you those high-end items?
Well, they call anybody that really hits, that spends a lot of money, they call them whales. So if you're a whale, you blow a lot of money. And the reason they call you a whale is because you look like a big, stupid fish with a lot of bloated money coming in to the casino.
Money.
Yeah, because they just spew money, man. But like every time I go, yeah, took the whole family 7-day cruise. Yeah, you paid 7 times the value of that cruise.
I mean, when you put it in that context, I agree
they
with
don't
you.
Give, nobody gives you anything because they like you.
Well, I mean, they could just
They might like you. They might like you a lot.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. We're talking about a man from Rochester. He was arrested back in early February. We were just hearing about it today after an incident where folks at Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack say he is accused of striking the play button on one of the gaming machines, which damaged the machine. He was charged with criminal mischief. He has a court date upcoming again. It's surprising we don't hear one of these stories every day from every casino in New York.
Yeah.
When you go to a casino, there are 3 types of people you will meet in the casino.
Right.
There are the folks, Tommy, that are there just for fun.
Yep.
Right? They'll put like $5
in. It's recreation.
Yeah. There are the more serious gamblers that know when to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like they, you know, they're not degenerates, but they're going to go. They're going to put $100 on table games. When that's gone, they're done.
Yeah.
And then there are the folks like we're describing right now.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are the hardcore. This is their hobby. Whatever money they get.
The lifestyle.
Exactly. And I've always been astonished. Like, when you walk into a place like Del Lago or Turning Stone, where they have everything, right? The table games and the slot machines. That all three of those people can exist in the same space at the same time.
Yeah.
Because those three people are the three most different people on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because some are just, you know, casual tourists. Some are, some don't bathe.
Well, I wonder how many people are kept from gambling, like kept from a gambling addiction because they're too afraid to approach the people that are regulars? You know what I mean?
You're saying they would be there more if it weren't for having to be around the people that are there 8 hours a day.
Yeah, like those are the people that may avoid it if they're unsure.
I had to be one of the few people, because of the old show, that I spent an enormous amount of time in casinos.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't an employee, and I wasn't gambling.
Okay.
I was just watching.
Just there.
And, we did some shows from casinos where, you know, it's a morning show, so we're in early in the morning. And it was interesting to see who's at a casino at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because most of them don't. I mean, if they close for an hour to vacuum, and then they.
But some of these are just there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just open. And those people that are hanging there in the morning have got to be the most interesting people to watch. Mm. The sad part is that their families were waiting for them out in the lobby.
Oh.
So we would go in and set up in the lobby to do the show, and there'd be families out there, like a wife and a kids, because they weren't allowed in the casino, waiting for dad to finish up work at pissing away their future.
And you're talking, this was in like Atlantic City?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Atlantic City was the most interesting people watching in the goddamn world.
Yeah, you're right, because like, you know, there's things to do in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
In Atlantic City, if you're not taking your family to the shore, you're there to gamble.
And we were there in January for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Just hanging out. And man, you really saw it there, man. I mean, this was work.
You know what's funny is we have this discussion because I'm not a big casino gambler. Mm. You're not a big casino gambler, right? Like we sit here and we go, these people, blah, blah, blah. But we also criticize the people on the other side of it because, Kimmy, you got married at Turning Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for 2 nights, right?
Yeah,
the day before, day after, whatever. And your wife, me and my wife, we went out, we got breakfast in the casino the next day. And my wife and your wife wanted to play some table, right? So you and I have been around.
Mm-hmm.
We know how this works. And our wives had like, what, $5?
Yeah.
That they wanted to put on like one hand. Did they play blackjack? I can't remember.
I forget what it was.
Yeah. But like you and I were mortified, embarrassed by our wives like asking how blackjack worked.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here like, you know. And then like, you don't know what you're doing, play blackjack. Well, you're only going to bet $5.
But I think that is sometimes what like makes people like prevents people from gambling because I don't want to be the person asking questions. I don't want to not look like I know what I'm doing, you know?
You're absolutely right.
Because you got to start somewhere. And
right.
I'm sure it's always embarrassing getting into it.
And it's funny, there are casinos that have specific tables for people like that. Like they'll tell you how all this works.
They'll
as it's
teach
going
you.
Through.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But like, you know, we're kind of dicks being like, oh, you know, this is a bad scene to be in. And then when our wives are in the scene and are like just trying to play along, well, why don't you act like a professional? You're embarrassing me. If Sinatra was here, he'd laugh right in your face. When's the last time you put money down at a table game?
Oh, God. I can't even remember.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Kimmy, how about you? Have you ever played a table game in a casino?
Yeah, I've played, well, roulette. I also played blackjack. At one trip, this was like years ago, and I can't even remember how to play really, so that's why I've never done it again. It was like a friendly table, like where they walked you through it,
right.
And I think we sat down for like maybe an hour and played, but I have not played that game since then, so I would have to be walked through it again if I sat down.
Did you tip the dealer before you got up?
Probably, yeah, because I was
lie.
Just
she lied
no, I was, because I was just copying what everybody else does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was just like, oh, that's what you do. Okay, I was just watching and learning as I went.
Well, and I think that's the genius of having the slot machines in every single casino is you want to fit in.
Yeah.
And you don't want to embarrass yourself. And there is a lot of intimidation walking up to a blackjack table, a craps table, a roulette table. Roulette's pretty easy, but you get what I'm saying. Playing poker, whatever. The slot machines. You're on your
own. It's mindless fun.
And nobody's paying attention to you, right. So you can't embarrass yourself. But it's also statistically the lowest odds in the casino.
But it's 80% of what people do in a casino. They will go to those machines and just sit.
And I wonder if it's the machines are, like you said, mindless fun and it's constant stimulation and it's exciting, or 80% of people in a casino don't want to embarrass themselves trying to play poker.
I think it's that. But I think when you sit at those things, you just get lost in time.
Mm-hmm.
You're just sitting there. There's nothing else going on. And you kind of like forget how much... Like, you've just zoned out.
You know, the other silly thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, they know what they're doing, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not just with the stimulation and the excitement. So, remember, I went to Detroit for the Thanksgiving Day game,
yeah.
And I was there early to watch the Bills play that game that got moved to Detroit. So, I wanted to find a Sabres game while I was there.
Mm.
They had it at the casino. So, I went down in Greektown, Detroit. They got legalized gambling in downtown Detroit. And I'm walking
Look how much that's helped Detroit.
I'm walking in. Yeah. They had, God, what was it? It was Goodfellas slot machine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they always change the themes.
But they had a ton. Like, there was a Sex and the City one.
Right.
It was, like, all these TV shows and all this. There was a Friends slot machine. But I wanted to play the Goodfellas slot machine to see what happened if you won on the Goodfellas slot machine. And I lost, like, $20 sitting there for 10 minutes. But I only wanted to watch the slot machine. Like, I would not have put money in a slot machine had the Goodfellas slot machine not been there right when I walked in.
Like Joe Pesci was going to come, hey, what'd you do, all right? You lose all your money, you idiot.
Because, like, they use actual clips from, like, the movies and the shows in these slot machines, and I just wanted to be entertained. And I felt like such a sucker when it was
but
over.
But they've always done that, like, from day, because they could just number the slot machines.
That's what it used to be.
Right. But they found out, like, if you throw a little theme up there.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
There was a slot machine at Batavia Downs. My brother and I used to go every Sunday morning to go get the breakfast buffet. When we were teenagers, good breakfast buffet.
Oh.
They had a spam slot machine.
Dedicated to the meat.
It was just spam.
Really?
And when you hit three spams, it would go spam, spam, spam. And it was super. We would go every Sunday and put $20 in the spam machine just because the spam machine was fun. And I know there are people out there that I can't find the spam machine anywhere else. I love the spam machine.
Well, they probably moved on, you know, for health concerns.
All right. So, look, the moral of the story here, if you are going to go play at a casino.
Have fun.
And keep your hands to yourself.
There you go.
Because you break a machine.
Don't get rough with the machine.
That's right.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They make you get there 2 hours early.
Mm.
You have to half undress to get to where you got to be. They charge you $9 for a cup of coffee.
And they throw it at you.
They jam you in a metal tube. They whisk you off to Timbuktu, and they charge you a fortune for the experience.
Yes.
For most people, flying is not fun.
Yeah.
And the last little bit of comfort that you got in that plane,
yeah,
it sounds like, is about to go away.
Well, what are they taking away?
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, a report from airline insiders yesterday.
What are they screwing us with?
Reclining airline seats are being phased out of planes across the world.
Well, you can't sit back.
You heard what I said.
It doesn't even really make much of a difference anyways.
Oh, is that true, small woman?
It doesn't. Okay. I mean, it goes back like maybe a couple degrees. I never really understood the point of it anyways.
Okay. Yeah, but you imagine being on a long... I mean, it's one thing to go like fly here to New York City.
Yeah.
But if you're on a long flight and you want to like close your eyes for a few minutes and just pushing your head back, it means a lot.
How about just adjusting your body position?
Well, a big guy like you, it's going to really suck for you.
Yeah, so but I would think it helps in a way too.
How so?
Because you're not losing leg room when the person ahead of you... reclines.
Okay, so let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because folks were wondering why.
Yeah, what's the reasoning behind it?
Now, you might think, to Kimmy's point, this might be to keep passengers from punching each other in the face from conflict.
That is one of the reasons that people start losing their crap.
You're right, but that's not why.
Right.
Like everything else, this is to save money. According to this report, seats that don't recline weigh less and cost less than seats that do. And airlines not only want to save on buying those seats, they want to save on fuel. Every extra pound costs them money.
Yeah.
The budget airlines are already using what they're calling pre-reclined seats.
Pre-reclined.
They don't move, but they're, quote, pre-reclined.
So they're already kind of set in position.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you got it.
So maybe they're back a little bit more than your average seat.
Or they're not, and they're just calling them pre-reclined seats. But airline experts say the rest of the airlines, both budget and regular, will be phasing out reclining seats over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
You got it. So, Kimmy, you brought up the whole... You benefit by not having someone in front of you recline.
Mm. Yeah. Like, if you're worried about leg room, this kind of helps solve that issue a little bit.
All right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Are you a dick if you recline your seat on a flight?
No. I mean, if you're an aggressive recliner, like that, you know that guy that, like, snaps it back?
Yeah, but...
You know, it snaps it up. And then you got the kid that starts playing with it. I mean, there are annoying people on a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
It is funny, like, when we get into a plane... And if the guy in front of my wife reclines, she'll be like, and then she'll recline her seat.
Yeah.
Like, you're just doing it to that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're all doing it to each other.
No, but there is a domino effect, right? When that person in the front, you have to recline to get the room that you needed before.
Especially if your tray's down.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because,
that'll really piss you off. If you have a drink on a tray,
and
then they spill your drink, and I just spent $7 on a scotch, and they short pour me.
No, but, like, there are people who vehemently believe.
Yeah.
That you should never recline your seat because of what you just said. People will not even move their seat an inch when they get on a flight because they don't want the person behind them to get upset. Neither of you buy into that idea? You recline no problem, Kimmy?
Oh, no, I never recline.
Oh, you never? Why don't you ever recline?
It doesn't make a difference to me. It really doesn't. Like, an inch back doesn't do much for me, so I'd rather, like, save the person behind me a headache.
Look at you being very nice.
Yeah.
No, she's not alone, man. I know there are people listening right now who have never done it and will never do it because they want to avoid the conflict. But I look at a guy like your husband. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's got to recline.
Those inches matter, Kimmy.
I don't know. I've never really seen him recline.
Look, I've got these long dancer's legs. Your husband's about the same height as I am. How I can't sit for an hour in the same position.
I don't think the reclining gives you much more room.
Yeah, but
his thing is like leg room. He doesn't care about, you know, what's in front of him. He just wants more leg space.
But
and I don't think reclining does much for you there.
The angle of the recline also gives you more leg space because now that your butt's lower and your back's higher.
Yeah, you're not forced forward.
Exactly. Like your leg.
There is something like once they get up above, you know, you get above, I think it's like 10,000 feet, you can recline and all that. I look forward to that. Like, all right, I can sit back, I can get a drink, and now I can just chill till we get there.
And I will say this. If I didn't know you, you being 5'3", and I see you get in front of me, and then you recline your seat, I'm out of my mind.
Bro, I not only can recline, I can cross my legs, have a tray down, and have a cocktail and a coffee going at the same time.
Okay.
I have like a little universe I set up in there for myself. You say, why do you love to fly? It's so relaxing to me to be in that chair drinking and just chilling out.
You're the only person
I
know.
Ride.
But he's the only person I know that likes to fly.
I like short flights. I mean, I do get restless if it's over like 3 hours.
Well, I think everybody does then. But.
Yeah.
No, but like everything about it is miserable.
Everything's shaped to my size. I get a decent proportion of a snack.
And is everything's a proportion like a portion?
Everything's like my size.
I hate you.
Right.
I hate you. Like, I might even, if someone your size, if you reclined your seat, I might say something to you. I might lean forward and go, hey, half
You're
pint.
You're too small.
Half pint.
He can curl up like a cat in the seat and take a nap. Like, you don't need the space, you dick. You don't. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. New reports say that airlines across the world are going to start phasing out reclining seats. The ones that don't recline are less expensive and they're less heavy, which will save on fuel costs. Budget airlines are already using what they call pre-reclined seats. It feels like airlines won't be happy until flying is the most miserable experience possible.
Yeah, probably. And don't forget, we're getting bigger and they're squeezing us into smaller spaces. We are getting fatter, bro. Everybody's chubbing up.
Every time we talk about flights or airlines,
you have to throw that in there.
But you know, one thing I love when I sit down and when I'm flying is watching the people squeezing into their seats.
You love that?
When I see
a weird thing to love.
Yeah.
You don't watch like I'm watching this big,
big
man,
bad.
And I go, how is he getting into that seat?
Well, yeah, but it's fun to watch until you know they're squeezing into your row.
I've had it. Oh yeah.
As a tall man and as a man who once weighed 300 pounds, you don't understand how uncomfortable
I've seen it.
Both physically and socially it is to try and squeeze your ass into one of those seats.
And you're also trying to pretend you're not fat trying to get into that
what
seat,
does that
too.
What does that even mean?
Like you're trying to twist and turn to get in there. You're like a fat ballerina.
What the hell?
And he's like pirouette into that seat.
The most bothersome person on an airplane. Yeah. I'm going to talk to Kimmy now. Kimmy.
Because it's me.
Okay. No, it's not you. Like if I would always try and get the window seat so I could lean when I was,
you know, so you can kind of put your head against something.
You got it. If it was a three-seater flight, every once in a while I would come across that person in the middle who wouldn't get out and let me in. They would just like move back a little bit.
Like
that's an ass.
Doesn't do anything.
You have to get up.
Like, well, no, now I'm gonna rub my genitals on you in a way that I don't want to. And this is not, but I can't be like, get up. Yeah. So now I have to do this like,
awkward.
Yeah, I see a big guy coming. I'm clearing a space to get his big ass in there.
Well, yeah, but again, like you could push yourself back against the seat and have 3 feet between your feet and where the seat is there. But like when it comes to like airlines taking away everything, right? Like now that we're not going to have these reclining seats at some point, you get half a can of soda and a bag of pretzels in the air if you're lucky.
Yeah.
$20 Wi-Fi on a 3-hour flight, jamming as many people into this metal tube as possible. How did we let this happen? Because we let this happen.
Yeah, because you accept it.
Yeah, we kept buying tickets on the plane as they just made it more.
But everybody wants that deal. That's why once they started doing that discount airlines, and I told you that old one, People's Express.
You tell me you're the one that gave money.
Yeah. That was like the first no-frills airline.
Yeah.
And
everybody
once people saw that, you could fly for, like, you could fly from, I lived in Florida, and you could fly to New York, round trip for like $100. Like, people were just going insane for that stuff, and they saw that and went crazy.
Look, I get that there's a market for budget airlines, and budget airlines do exist. Like, we talked about Spirit Airlines on the show before, right? People either love or hate Spirit Airlines. And JetBlue started off as a discount carrier. Yeah. Like, having those airlines where you're willing to tolerate all of this
stuff. I just want
to
get there.
Fine. That I get. It's Delta and American Airlines and places like that where it's like, you don't have to do this. You don't. People on those airlines are willing to pay more money. You're just being dicks. It's all about greed. That's all it is.
Sure.
It's just greed. And it bothers the hell out of me. Because if I'm paying the price to go on a Delta or an American Airlines flight, and sometimes you have to, those are the only flights that'll take you to a certain place you have to go,
right.
I shouldn't have my balls jammed up against the seat in front of me. God, I hate it. I hate flying so much.
Well, you're also a control freak. It doesn't want to be in a plane to begin with.
Look who's talking, Mr. Laidback.
He does. He likes being carted around in the sky.
Yes.
No, but you are a control freak. Like you just said, you look around at what other people are doing. The two things that bother me. Okay, he's doing the hands now if you're watching the
live
stream.
I don't know what hand that was. That's a new hand.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Me? No way.
We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. This comes in from Ron. Ron says, Greyhound buses let you recline. You get to get up and walk around. You take stops along the way. We are now at a point where taking a cross-country bus is easier than taking a cross-country flight.
The bus.
Yeah.
Sir.
Bus is a long trip.
Long, long trip. You didn't go very far, but it was a long ass trip. You meet a really good class of convicts when you're on a bus.
You don't know who's going to sit next to you.
Okay.
Well, I just got out, man. You know, it's all about keeping it real.
By the way, same thing on a plane. Like, you're making it sound like you
can't get... I just met a guy who recently got paroled on a plane that I know.
Bro, when you're talking, like, Spirit and those other discount airlines in Buffalo and Rochester that have started operating, some of those flights are $99. It's going to be the same price as a bus ticket.
Yeah, but I got
to... Yeah, but with the plane, you're stuck next to one person, whereas bus... Like, people are getting on and off stops, you know what I mean? So you can have,
play
like, multiple...
passenger roulette.
Yes.
But you're doing the same thing if you have a transfer, which, by the way, you're probably
that bus thing is the worst, man.
Look, man, I've had unpleasant... I've taken the Greyhound a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Me too, and it sucked.
There were some unpleasant experiences I had.
I wish trains were more prevalent, you know what I mean? Like, I wish that was a more common way to travel and an easier way to travel. Because, I'd prefer that to bus.
If you're going long distance by train...
Yeah.
It takes longer than you think, because I also took the train a bunch on the road, too. And you also have that passenger roulette game.
Yeah. True.
Like, it ain't Europe, right, where it's going to do 200 miles an hour and you're in Zurich.
And that's what sucks, man, is like, you know, you see these other countries that have, like, these high-speed rail systems.
Yeah.
And people have the option of taking that and not getting bent over by the airlines. We don't have that, we're never going to have it, because it's too expensive now to build cross-country.
Mm-hmm. Like, screwed up.
Exactly, and like the airplane lobbies are going to fight like hell to not have it.
Right.
So shut up. Here's your half a can of soda, your bag of pretzels, your back is spasming because you can't put your seat back now. Oh, you want to look at your Twitter? $20. $20 for a three-hour flight. There has to be a point where it goes in the opposite direction someday. Where some company comes to the realization that a more pleasant flight experience, people will pay a little bit more for.
But it's not going to be a little bit more. Right. It's going to be a lot more.
Someone's going to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm saying someone will figure out a way to make it more comfortable for not that much more money. Right. I'm telling you.
But there's going to be something off about it.
Okay.
Because you can't cut. I mean, a plane's a plane. They have to have the standard stuff, right? So what did you cut back on that I may not want to know about?
Okay, that's possible. What you said is possible.
It's like, what did they go to, like, chintzy airplane manufacturer?
You mean Boeing? We didn't put the screws in the hole?
You know what's weird about the airline industry? Is that airports themselves, like inside, have become mega malls.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can find anything you need at an airport.
It's amazing how nice the actual airport is.
They have high-end shopping.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's kind
bars all over the place.
And that's kind of the point I'm making. If there's a way to make money, they'll do it nice.
Yeah. Like, one thing I don't need on a plane, like, I'd be willing to give up, like, the beverages and snacks for a little bit more space.
I'm with you 100%.
Like, I don't need, like, usually, like, you buy something at the airport, you take it on the plane anyway, so it's not like I need that, you know, tiny little glass of soda.
No, you're right. I'll buy a $5 bottle of soda if it means that I can have that extra 6 inches of leg room or I can move my seat back, you dicks.
But I also grew up in a place, or I also grew up in a time where we didn't really have, like, the meals and snacks and stuff, so I'm used to it.
It was out of control.
Was it out of control? Also, like, one in every 200 planes crashed. By the way, you look it up. That's like a legit.
But everybody looked good. You're all dressed up wearing hats. And
yeah, you could have open caskets. Wegmans is a Rochester diamond, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Northeast kind of store.
Mm-hmm.
Great Italian food, pizzas, subs.
It's class.
Yeah, and on top of the grocery store.
World class.
And that's why it's been so successful in places like Massachusetts, Philadelphia, New York City, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy, the bigger you get, the more you are forced to move out of your comfort zone. And Wegmans, after this news yesterday, is now embedded in a place they don't take too kindly to Yankees. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Wegmans announced yesterday they are opening another store in North Carolina.
So I think this is going to be their third?
Fourth.
Fourth?
13 Wham said four, right?
Wow.
Well, okay. Look at you.
Yeah, because, I think you're right.
So the first was open in Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Charlotte? Charlotte. Okay, so whenever
it's like Charlotte.
I know,
well,
but when I
it's
read
hard to prevent yourself from saying Charlotte in your head, and then you have to like take a second to make sure you're saying it the right way.
So 4 years ago, they opened in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But that made sense, opening in Charlotte. There were a ton of northern transplants that live in that city.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're listening right now, you may have friends or family living there. This store, set to open in the fall, will be their southernmost Wegmans location in America, down on Confederate soil.
Okay. So they opened up a second Charlotte location?
So it doesn't give
They have other Wegmans.
Are the ones in Raleigh?
Raleigh?
I thought, did they say Durham too or something? I can't remember. There Durham were other. Soul?
But those are all like rich towns in the South.
Well, yeah, Wegmans is a higher end
So they
store. They
go into where the money is.
Yes, okay, fine.
And where the transplants are.
Okay, well, that's just it. You're running out of transplant cities.
Yes, you are.
In North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tommy, you love Wegmans.
Yeah.
You know it's great.
Yeah.
Will Wegmans work in the actual South?
The deep South.
Because we're getting
the
old
South.
We're getting into the
working
actual
our way down the
South.
East Coast.
We're talking Tar Heels, Tobacco Road, actual South soil.
Right.
Does it work?
It seems to be.
No, I'm asking, will it work? Because they're going to have to keep pushing farther south. They're running out of territory.
Would a Florida Wegmans succeed?
Oh, in Miami and places like that, yeah.
A lot of transplants in Florida.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking
you're thinking more like Georgia.
South Carolina, Georgia,
yeah.
Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi.
Those would be the towns I don't think it would work.
Okay.
Like, when it's more Dixie.
Okay.
And, you know, that belt of, like, Georgia.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, you're diddling Dixie in North Carolina, which is my favorite Ribs Arkansas song.
You're diddling Dixie, son. I don't like your grocery store none. I don't know what an artichoke is or where to put it.
Look, Tommy, you can attest, having grown up in Florida before it was all transplants, those people down there do not like things not from their region.
They don't like Northerners, yeah.
It goes for people. It goes for culture. And it goes for business.
Yeah.
Is Wegmans such a great store that they can overcome the Yankee stigma and get the good old boys to stand in line for a Danny's favorite and a gallon of milk?
Yeah, we'll find out.
I mean, think about even just the flavors that come along with the Wegmans that we know. Like, it's a Northeast kind of thing.
It is. It is.
Right? They ain't selling catfish subs.
Oh, man, that'd be tasty.
It would be good. It would be good. But you ain't getting, you know, fresh crawdads. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's too, yeah. I don't know how old the ethnic food would fly. You know what I mean?
Ethnic, okay. I love how you call Italian food ethnic food.
No, but it's Indian food.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of
Southern people eat Indian food?
I don't know. I don't know how many Indian people have gone down there and influenced the food.
Okay.
Right?
No, I'm also not sure. You don't think they eat naan in North Carolina? Some North Carolina
naan? I don't want naan. I'm a naan man.
You know, I know there are people that are hearing this and think we're insane. Maybe you haven't been down south. If you did, you went down for a vacation or something like that real quick and came back. But the reason I ask this about Wegmans is there are a lot of businesses that are successful atop the Mason-Dixon line that do not work below it. Yes, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, if we talk about the stuff in the South that is the most popular, restaurants and businesses, we just got a Chick-fil-A a couple of years ago.
Right.
We still don't have Waffle House. We still don't have Church's Chicken. We still don't have Raising Cane's. It's only the monsters like McDonald's, Subway, Starbucks, the big-name brands that manage to have success in both the northern and southern parts of the United States. Wegmans being able to pull this off would be like unprecedented.
Yeah.
Right? I
mean, yeah. But they seem to make it work wherever they go.
Yeah. Yeah. But they've never gone this far in the southern soul.
Right. So it may not be this. I guess the big test is going to be when they go into South Carolina.
You think?
Because there's a big difference between North Carolina and South Carolina. A big difference.
You said it wrong.
What? Carolina?
Big difference between North Carolina and South Carolina. 500 miles. 500 miles. Going real fast round and round.
But you know what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, no, I know.
There's a steep drop off in like electricity and fresh water. Indoor plumbing.
It is amazing. Like, I wonder if you watched, if they had like one of those time lapses of Wegmans as it progresses down south. Like, they do it like step by step.
Oh,
like, they've never made a big jump down south. It's always been like,
calculated.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess they'll work their way down little by little.
It'll be interesting if you go into a Wegmans in the Carolinas and out front, they're selling fireworks. And I mean the good fireworks.
The good sky candy fireworks.
Ones that'll clear out a forest.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Yesterday it was announced Wegmans is opening another store in North Carolina. It'll be their fourth store. It'll be their southernmost store in America. And they're getting into unprecedented territory because northern businesses, most of the time, do not work south of the Mason-Dixon line. There's another reason why this is a huge deal for Wegmans.
Yeah.
Not just culturally. Wegmans is moving now, has moved, into the territory of another monster American grocery store. Publix has a ton of North Carolina locations.
Mm. And those families have been friends forever. I guess Bob Wegman and the guy that started Publix, they're like best friends.
Okay, you told us this story on the air like a month ago, yeah, and we did no research.
I feel like you could write a gossip column for grocery stores.
And I think Danny had mixed feelings about going in and competing against people that he thought were family.
You know, there are people that like follow the royal family. And
these are
like,
royal.
They'll like report on it. Like, how do we? You found a job that doesn't exist. You need to take advantage of that.
Right. By the way, he's making this up.
No,
he's
not.
No, because you said, I think Danny had conflicted. When you say, I think
he had
conflicting
emotions about going up and competing against. Because I told you my off-air theory about this whole thing.
Do you want to say it on the air? No, you want to be a bitch. That. You want to be a bitch-ass off-air theory bitch.
I think eventually Publix is going to buy out Wegmans.
Oh, so that means Publix is better than Wegmans?
I think they got more money. They're bigger.
Oh, what? All right, so you're saying...
So Wegmans does about $9 billion a year. Publix does almost $40 billion. Who do you think is going to buy out who?
The fact that you know that is pathetic. But past that, and I mean that with all due respect. Yeah. You're my friend. I love you. But past that, right now, mm-hmm, Publix makes more money. But yeah, Wegmans, they're moving, baby. Right into Publix backyard. They're all up in Publix backyard.
Are Publix people as loyal to Publix as Wegmans?
You don't know that.
As Wegmans customers are to Wegmans.
No. I mean, I grew up in Florida where you had Publix and Winn-Dixie and...
Yeah.
They didn't care. They were just grocery
stores. It was
stores.
Just because it's there.
It wasn't, I will say, it wasn't a culture.
Okay. What year did you leave Florida?
90.
Okay.
89, 90.
Like, I remember as a kid, I mean, Wegmans was everywhere.
Yeah.
There wasn't the cult status that Wegmans had back in the late 80s and early 90s that exists now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
When there was Bell's, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a whole bunch of other
girls.
Star Market. Yeah. Like, all these places existed. Tops, you know, was also a Western New York store. It's only been in, like, the last 20 years that Wegmans has gained that cult status. Yeah. So, it's also possible Publix has done the same thing.
It could be.
On social media, folks that live down south rave about Publix the same way we rave about Wegmans, and every time there's a story about Wegmans, someone from Florida or Georgia or Alabama, what about Publix? You had a Publix sub check out there. Crawdad catfish sub with my daddy's finger in it. I mean, look.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way.
What's up?
If the roles were reversed
and
Publix was slowly making itself up the East Coast.
Well, they are. They are coming up.
Okay. So eventually, let's say hypothetically, Publix opens a grocery store in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go?
I'd have to go check it out.
All right, so you'd go see, but would you shop there on a regular basis?
No.
No one would.
No.
Because, and that has nothing to do with how good or bad a store like Publix is. Mm-hmm. It's fierce Wegmans loyalty, right? Like, you grew up with Wegmans. You're mm-hmm. comfortable with Wegmans.
We're used to things being a certain way at the grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah. And for that reason... I do wonder, the further down Wegmans goes, if they're going to get to a point where they finally...
It'll peter out.
Yeah, bit off more than they can chew. Because, you know, what you know growing up, a lot of the time is what wins out. Especially in a community in the South where history and culture is as important to them as it is.
So what would happen is they would jump over the Dixie and they would just go into South Florida where you have all the transplants.
It is surprising they haven't done South Florida yet.
Right.
With so many... Northeasterners living down there. Now.
Yeah.
Right?
That would, to me, would be the next move.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Wegmans opening their southernmost store, their fourth in North Carolina. Now, we're getting perspective here because the three of us were Wegmans people. Mm-hmm. Kimmy and I born and raised here. Yeah. Tommy, you didn't get here until after the great grocery store wars of 1995.
Oh, yeah.
Sam's on CMF. Hey, Sammy. What's up, bud?
Hey, boys. How we doing? Listen, I'm in Charlotte right now.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah, listen, I moved here in June. I still listen to you boys every day on the app, so keep it going. Tommy Nation in the South all the way.
See, of course, going south.
Of course, south of the Mason-Dixon line, Tommy Nation's all... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sam.
Absolutely. Listen, the neighborhood where they're going to put this Wegmans, it is the Pittsford of Charlotte. So it'll succeed, and this place is loaded, like you're saying, with northern transplants who know Wegmans. I've met more people from Western New York than you can count, honestly. So I'm sure it'll do well. It'll be fine.
Okay, like Sam, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Where this new Wegmans is going to be, is it close to a Publix? Is Publix in the area?
Yeah, there is Publix. Actually, there's a Publix, you know, a couple miles from where I live. There's Publix. There's also a local chain down here called Harris Teeter. It's nice, but listen, there's I actually worked for Wegmans for 25 years before I relocated, so I'm kind of a Wegmans snob myself.
Mm-hmm, I see.
It'll do well. It'll do well. Like you said, the neighborhood they're putting it in, there's Whole Foods down here too. So, yeah, you know, when you're in a city like Charlotte, it's just a big city. Like you said, it's a ton of transplants. In fact, when you meet someone who's actually born and raised in North Carolina, in Charlotte, they say they're the unicorns here.
Interesting. All right, Danny knows what he's doing, obviously.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Let's go where the business, the Tommy. Money. Tommy Nation, always flush with cash because you go where the money is. Sam, stay safe. Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. Yep. So, yeah, it'll do great. And the one thing, transplant person that I am looking forward to at Wegmans is, ironically enough, like you said, are the subs and good bread. That's what this place, baby.
Can get good bread.
Yeah, I hear they got no cheese down there either.
Southern cheese.
Southern cheese going to stick your mouth. Sam, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. We got tweets coming in. You can always tweet us at WCMF Break Room. Chrissy writes us, dare I say one of the reasons Wegmans has a cult-like presence is because of the northeast weather. When it's crappy outside, people go to Wegmans. How is that going to work in sunny states?
Not wrong. Sometimes if you're just looking for something to do, like Wegmans is like the one stop you don't mind making that day in the crappy weather.
It is interesting, though. I mean, we all remember what happened, the drama between Whole Foods and Wegmans and Pittsford and Brighton and the battle and all this stuff, right? Wegmans is going into the belly of the beast. You got a Publix, you got a local grocery store, like Sam just said, and you got Whole Foods right where they're going into, and they think they're going to be able to succeed.
Yeah. Man. That's arrogance. That's some northern arrogance right there.
Come on, Yankee!
Wait till Danny gets out of his Ferrari in his leather suit.
No, he will kind of look like Colonel Tom Parker.
Right, a little bit.
Fourth reference in 2 weeks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.